At first, Dennis had suspected some sort of complex trap organized by the Inquisition. That notion had lasted perhaps all of 30 seconds before he realized how patently absurd it was. At that point, he'd begun to worry about the deadly risk Conyer had offered to run for him, and he'd turned the Archbishop down with a smile he hoped told the other man how unspeakably grateful he'd felt. But then, as he'd studied the writ with newly refreshed eyes, and especially as he'd perused the sections of the Insights written by Grand Vicar Everhard, he'd realized it wasn't that simple. Not just a question of Conyer's carrying letters, which might somehow serve Dennis's own needs or ends. Everhard's had been a short, grand vicarate, and as Dennis pored over his brief contribution to the Insights from the perspective of his own current plight, he'd realized exactly why that had happened. Saint Everhard could not have been a welcome presence in the temple's corridors of power. Clearly, he'd had no notion how the game was played, and, equally clearly, his efforts at reform had made him dangerous enemies in plenty. Indeed, Dennis suspected that much of Clinton's hatred for the entire Wilson family was an almost institutional thing, going clear back to Everhard the Just's grand vicarate. And, as he'd read St. Everhard's century-old words and remembered the clear-eyed commitment and faith of that long-dead grand vicar's distant grandson, Pater, he'd recognized something he himself had never truly had, something he wished desperately had been his. And in that recognition, he'd realized there were indeed two letters he needed delivered. Two letters no inquisitor could ever be permitted to see. And so he found his notepaper in the writ itself. He couldn't believe God or the Archangel Langhorne would begrudge him its use, not given the task for which he had needed it. Conyer hadn't so much as flinched when Dennis handed him the tightly folded piece of paper when they clasped hands in greeting at his next visit. Dennis was certain he'd seen the other man's cheek muscles tighten, seen the sudden flicker of anxiety in Conyer's eyes, but all the Archbishop had done was to slip the note unobtrusively into a cassock pocket. Despite everything else that had happened, Dennis had no fear Conyer might have delivered his note to the Inquisition's hand or betrayed his confidence. No. Here, at the very end of his life, Irake Dennis had finally met the duties of his office, and he had prayed nightly that Gerald Adamson and Pater Wilson would heed the final directives he'd sent them. It wasn't very much, not at the end of everything, after a life he'd wasted so profligately. It was simply the only thing he could have done. He folded his hands before him, leaning his forehead against them in silent prayer. He didn't know how long he sat there, praying, before the sudden, loud clack of his cell door's lock yanked him up out of his state of meditation. He straightened slowly, with as much dignity as he could muster, and turned to face the two upper priests in the flame and sword-badged purple of the Order of Schuler. The Inquisitors wore the stark black stoles and gloves of the executioners they were, and their eyes were pitiless and cold. The half-dozen temple guardsmen behind them were expressionless, their faces masks for whatever they might have been feeling. But there was no doubting the satisfaction and icy hatred in the Inquisitor's stony gazes.
"It is time,"
the senior of them told him flatly, and he nodded.
"Yes, it is,"
he replied with a calmness which astounded him. He thought he might have seen surprise flicker in the backs of the Schulerite's eyes as well, and the possibility gave him a curious satisfaction. One of the guardsmen stepped forward with a heavy set of manacles. His eyes were reluctant, almost apologetic, and Dennis looked at the senior inquisitor.
"Are those truly necessary?"
he asked. The Inquisitor returned his gaze for several long, taut moments. Then, slowly, He shook his head.
"Thank you,"
Dennis said, and stepped forward, leaning on his cane as he took his place at the center of the hollow square of guardsmen. It wasn't exactly as if he might somehow have miraculously run away and escaped his fate simply because they hadn't chained his hands. Besides, there was the agreement he'd struck with Clinton to be considered, wasn't there?
"Shall we go, Father?"
he asked, looking back at the senior inquisitor.